welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we're going to conclude the message that the Lord has shared with us this week on the preparation of the priesthood, looking at the first chapter of Revelation, where God calls us kings and priests unto our God. And we're seeing how Joshua, in the third chapter of Zechariah, one of the night visions that this prophet priest had was how God was preparing Joshua, who was the high priest at the time of the return of the Babylonian captivity, what was done in a spiritual realm for him, and making comparisons and applications for our own lives. Now we see in verse 5, Zechariah is saying, "And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord, who's Jesus, stood by." It's interesting that Zechariah made the request, and that request was granted before the actual garments were put on. Why? Because that's God's favor, His anointing, His calling. Beloved, you have been cleansed, you've been clothed and crowned with honor, and that priestly crown, or turban, if you will, it indicates that Joshua, as well as we, have been accepted in God's presence. We see in Exodus, the 30th chapter, verse 32, that holy anointing oil was put upon the mitered head of the priest. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Verse 31 says, "Say to the Israelites, this is a holy anointing oil, or symbol, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. It's sacred to me alone throughout your generations." And so, beloved, that holy sacred anointing oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon what God Himself has given. He doesn't put it upon the works of flesh, upon good intent, but on that which God Himself has established. So, where do we go from here? Well, there's a renewed promise. After cleansing and after crowning, there's a commissioning, if you will, a new purpose. There must now be a new walk and new motives. That's what God, beloved, we're living in such desperate times. I don't know how the return of the Lord is so near. God has called every ministry in its own fashion to obey whatever God places on, you know, that minister's heart, who's called of God to lead the ministry. But many prophetic ministries are saying, you know, we are very, very near the end. The country is the economy is close to collapse. If ever we need to depend upon the Lord and do what He would tell us to do in our daily life, it is now. And certainly we need to get ourselves right before the Lord. If there's anything, beloved, in your life that's not right, I plead with you in the name of the Lord, don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. You could, before this day is out, breathe your last breath. God forbid. But we don't know the days we have. You don't have to be sick or up in years. It can happen to a young person in a moment's notice. Their life is snuffed out in a automobile accident or something. So, beloved, we need to make sure we're walking right before the Lord. Now, let's read verse 7. Let me read now 6, because 5 was, "They put a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. The Lord was standing by. The angel of the Lord now speaks to Joshua, saying," verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." What's the Lord saying? Let's look at it now. You know, to an unregenerate man, this scripture really applies. "My ways," this is the Lord speaking, "are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts." You know, because there's no agreement, there can be no walking together. Amos 3 and 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So, beloved, that's why it's necessary that we have to be cleansed in heart and mind. We have to be renewed in spirit. We have to have that outward man be conformed to the knowledge of the Word of God, to walk in the fear of God, in the understanding of the Lord, to walk in His ways. We've been called to walk a new and living way that is revealed in God's Word. What is that way? Well, simply, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It is the perfect law of liberty. Jesus, what's the way? Jesus is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, beloved, our walk is not a series of legalisms or religious spirit or do's and don'ts. It's a walk of faith and a willing obedience to the truth of God, a loving response to a God who loves us so much He was willing to send His only begotten Son to suffer and die in our place just because He loves us so much, so we could be restored and live forever in eternity with Him in those heavenly mansions that God is preparing. We are to follow the Lord. Jesus said that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So, He's saying, walk in my ways. What does that mean? Just as the Lord commanded Joshua, so He's commanding us, who are members indeed of a royal priesthood, kings and priests unto our God. Brother, sister, this exhortation to walk in His ways commands total obedience to God's will. And at the same time, it implies a total rejection of anything that would concede ground to the ways of man. That's what to be, Jesus, the Lord said, be holy even as I am holy. Holy, that means to be set apart for the service of God. So there's a new walk as well as a new way, a new motive, if you will. New walk and new motives. We're talking about this new walk refers to the outward man, and new motives refer to the inner man of the heart. The Amplified verses 6 and 7 say, and the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly protested and affirmed to Joshua, saying, if you will walk in my ways, we've looked at that, and keep my charge. The new man in Christ Jesus has new motives springing in his soul, in his spirit. His chief desire is to honor the Lord and be true to his charge as revealed in the Word of God, that God might work in him both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All who have been crowned with the mitre of holiness can gladly say, just as Paul did in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved, listen to the promises that have been made to Joshua. If he will keep my charge, that Hebrew word mishmeret, that is faithfully enact the priestly duties. If you will hear what I'm telling you, what is the Lord saying? He'll rule my house. Hallelujah. That Hebrew verb, din, D-I-N, it means to judge, and it denotes that the judicial authority in all matters concerned with the temple and its function, which in former days had been executed by the monarch in 1 Kings 2:27 and 2 Kings 16:10 through 19, it's now being transferred to Joshua and all who will succeed him. So the order is a priest unto God and king. And that is really what is going to happen in our behalf, beloved. We are already, we're a royal priesthood. We are ministering unto the Lord. He calls us to go and minister in His name, to go out into the highways and byways and declare there is salvation and no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. Declare the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the only anointed one, the only begotten of the Father. There is none like Him. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a good man who came to, you know, heal the sick and promote good works. He was the very Son of God, the very Son of Man, the Word incarnate, the God became flesh, dwelling among us. Think about that, beloved. This is the high calling to which we've been called, and if we will walk faithfully in that priesthood, then we will have rule over His house, even as Joshua, we will rule and reign with Him. Well, I don't know about you. I've not heard too many really, as many books I've read, in terms of the end times. We don't know all of what that means when Jesus comes to set up his earthly kingdom, that 1,000-year reign, the millennium, as it is referred to, we will rule and reign with him. We will have authority, a ruling authority over the nations, because there are going to people that are going to be alive on the earth. They're not regenerate. They're not saved. They will have an opportunity during that 1,000-year reign of absolute peace and prosperity, no war, no sickness, to choose to serve the living God. Now, the amazing thing is, it's just mind-blowing, but at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed for a short time, and there's actually going to be people that go over to his side. It's like, you know, you can't fathom it when Jesus physically is here and the world is mankind is striving for that kind of utopia. It'll never happen. Only Jesus is going to bring that perfection. I was reading one book recently, a prophetic author, and he says, well, you know, the Jews are restored to the land. It's a time of restoration of all things using Acts, you know, in times of repentance. And it's like, beloved, that's not going to happen until Jesus comes, until he sets up his kingdom. Yes, there's a measure of restoration happening, but we're not here to set up the kingdom, get it all in nice order, and then Jesus can come. He alone is going to set it in order. I'm not a Kingdom Now person, okay? But I'm preaching the kingdom, praise God. So in the past, the high priest alone had access to the Holy of Holies. Now Joshua is offered the right of direct entrance into the immediate presence of God, quote, among those who are standing here. That's what he says, right? And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hallelujah. In short, Joshua is promised a spiritual privilege far greater than those of the priests of former times, when entrance into the holy place was permitted only once a year. He's granted now something far greater, beloved, foreshadowing a promise that comes to us, that comes into fulfillment through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and through Jesus to all of us who believe on his name, which is Joshua. We now have free access to God. Oh, beloved, what a glorious thing, how he is preparing us, the priests of God, to enter into kingly rule and reign with him. All glory and blessing and honor to him who sits on the throne. I wish I had another 5 hours to minister, but my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. So as I bring this week to a conclusion, I invite you to tune in next week. We'll see what the Lord has for us. I pray you'll be blessed and encouraged, and I just wish I had more time, but I hope you hear my heart. I love you deeply, and even if you never write, I'm still praying for you. God bless you. God love you. I love you, and until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,